and welcome into this episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm your host, Danny Rouillet. Thank you, as always, for checking out the show, especially, most especially, if you're on patreon.com/funnydanny. You guys are the best. You're making this thing go. You make it possible so we can do the thing that we do, and that you kind of tolerate the thing that we do is very nice as well. If you're checking us out on free platforms later, that's cool too, man. It's all good. We're on all the good ones, as far as you know. Amazon Music, Apple Pods, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, I think. Maybe not on Podbean. I don't even know, honestly. But we're all in the good places. Anywhere you should be as a podcast, we are. My guest this week is my buddy Heather Zimmerman. She is married to Ryan Zimmerman, Major League Baseball player with the Washington Nationals here in Washington, D.C. And I thought this would be kind of a cool angle. She's actually one of the people that I thought of when I initially had the idea of doing this show, right? How many wives of Major League Baseball players do you meet, right? And Heather's obviously her own person and is sharp, funny, really kind, generous, and very proactive, which we'll see here in a second with some of the things that her and Ryan have spearheaded and stuff she's taken on herself, using her platform to do a lot of good for a lot of people. But before we get into all the nitty and the gritty, let's do the thing we always do around this time, the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting.
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
We're talking about Mel Kiper Jr. We're here to do a podcast. Okay, Danny Rouillet, mediocre podcaster. Let's be real here. Probably a mid-first round, late second round pick. Good verbalization. Not as fun as he thinks he is. Talks a little too fast. Sometimes stutters his words, okay? Mid-day two, possibly day three pick. Boom. Pretty honest evaluation from Mel Kiper Jr. there. It is nearly draft season after all. So let's talk Major League Baseball here for a second, right? This is an incredible life. And it's one that I wanted, quite frankly, me and tens of thousands of other kids that grew up playing baseball. I was very close to being a major leaguer myself. I was just missing some natural athletic ability, baseball ability, and probably mental fortitude and a lot of other things. Just a few ingredients shy. But I did play in college. And the difference between me is people were asking or have asked me in the past, like how just relative to scale, how close is that? And here's the best analogy I can come up with. Being a Major League Baseball player is like being a president of the United States. And what I did, I was like a local city councilman in a very tiny town in the Midwest. That's the equivalent of how close I was. In other words, I couldn't be further away if I tried, right? These guys are amazing at what they do, and they're so skilled, they're so incredible, they're so just sort of perfect at this. And the game is being played at a better and higher level than it ever has. The skill of these guys, the coaching they receive, the athletic training they receive, just the intelligence they have in terms of athleticism, but also and how to get the most out of their bodies. It's just not what the game was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s into the early 90s. It's really incredible what these guys can do. But here's the flip side of that. The lifestyle is really unique, right? And it takes a huge degree of buy-in. So even when you're quote unquote home, you get home usually around if the game, you know, ends according to, you know, normal 9-inning plan. God forbid it goes extra innings or something like that. But you're not getting home until 1:30, 2 o'clock. And you pretty much leave the next day for the ballpark at 1 p.m. And that's when things are normal. You're gone all day long because you don't have really practice days or that many off days. And when you do, you got to get off your feet and just kind of rest or rehab something. But you get in all your physical training, your stretching, your practice time is really before the game. And then you got to rest and recoup and get yourself ready to play again that night. So that doesn't leave much window for family time. So enter the players' wives, if they have some, right? If they have a wife, okay, and a family. The family either just decides, okay, for 9 months, really starting in February and until the end of October, if you're lucky, right, playing at a high level and you're in the postseason, we just are not going to see this person. Because when they're at home, they're not really at home during normal kids' hours. And when they're on the road, that's, you know, 10, 11, 12 days, cross-country type trips, getting home at 3:30 in the morning, you got to be at the ballpark the next day at, you know, 2:45 or whatever it is for the next game's festivities as the sort of clock gets started. It's a crazy, really, really challenging grind. And that's the word that comes to mind, is a grind for these major league ball players. So what are families to do? How do they figure out what to do? And so I've gotten to know Ryan Zimmerman, Heather Zimmerman over the years of their time here in Washington, D.C. They're wonderful people. They're super kind and very generous, great folks. And so I sort of have watched from afar as Heather and their now growing family, they have three kids now, has kind of decided, we're going along for the ride. This is a really unique wonderful experience, and the window is limited. And they kind of get that. They have this appreciation for it. So, you know, while the kids are young enough, they're sticking them on the airplane. At, you know, I'm afraid to take my 1.5-year-old, and our kids are roughly the same age, our oldest are, and I'm afraid to take my 18-month-old out to dinner at 5 o'clock because he's going to make a fuss. Well, they're sticking him on the airplane for cross-country flights to Seattle, to San Francisco, to Arizona, or whatever. You know, you buy $30 worth of toys at Target, do a bunch of one-offs, and go for it, right? And they just said, let's adjust, and kids are resilient. We'll adjust on the fly. And it's an amazing thing that they've been able to do. And give these kids this unbelievably unique experience for a window that, again, is not permanent. And in terms of Major League Baseball players, just to go into this a little bit, of the tens of thousands of kids that pick up a bat and a glove, it's less than 5%, give or take, that go on to play at a level beyond high school. That's not just Division I. That's 1, 2, 3, NAIA, junior college, any other kind of time, right? Amateur baseball. Then it's less than 10% of those college players that will end up getting drafted. And of those players that get drafted, only 1 in 33 typically makes the major leagues. That gives you an idea of how unlikely it is. But in addition to Major League Baseball players, you have also career baseball players, guys who are in single A, double A, triple A, who are just trying to make it, just trying to get that foot in the door. And again, you might have families who are forced to live this incredible, challenging, frustrating lifestyle in pursuit of this dream. And Ryan and Heather are just such cool people. They're awesome. And the thing I want to highlight with Heather, and we'll hear my conversation with her here in a moment, you kind of have a couple choices that you make, right? And there are a lot of wives of ball players, and there are stereotypes and different things. And Heather's not that way at all. But where you don't have to do much. You're just sort of on Easy Street, right? That's it. You're just sort of hanging out and maybe go to a game or two, and you don't really care about the sport, and kind of that's all. And Heather hasn't been that way. And she's formed this amazing kind of sorority and has been so helpful to, you know, new player wives and helping families adjust. And she's been so active in this community. Her Pros for Heroes program that her and Ryan started at the beginning of the pandemic was just an amazing thing that just caught fire. Her work with the Zims Foundation, obviously very close to Ryan's family and mine, just, you know, very impactful, near and dear to my heart type stuff. And they've been kind enough to let me, you know, basically I said, hey, I'll sweep the floors if you guys want me to over the course of the years. And they let me flap my gums and MC the event for a number of years straight. And I work with the National Children's Museum, we'll talk about as well. But just, it's an interesting thing. And I sort of had her in mind, as I said, as one of the first people that I wanted to have on the show, because how unique is that, right? The whole point of this was, if you met somebody at a party and you ask them, well, what do you do? Like, what? How do you spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week? And if they gave you an answer that was atypical, if they gave you an answer that would ask for follow-up questions, that's the kind of person I want on the show. So enjoy my conversation with my pal, Heather Zimmerman. Pump for my guest this week. She is a pal. Heather Zimmerman joins me. Heather, how's it going, man? Thanks for the time.
Hey, Danny. It's good. Nice talking to you this morning.
Let's do the dance here. Okay, so there's a number. I've admired you and Ryan for years for a number of different reasons, and they range from the grand to the very small. Let's start small first, okay?
Sounds great.
I think that wives of major league players have a choice. Kind of hang out and watch the games like the rest of us pudgy schlubs, or when there's a 10-game, 12-day West Coast trip, pick up the family up and you guys see the world and see the country. And you chose the latter. I'm amazed at that. I was afraid to go to a restaurant with my 18-month-old because there might be a scene. You're like, yep, let's get through airport security. Here's $75 toys from Target. Let's entertain the kid on the plane and let's go. I've always admired that. And I'd love for you to speak to that kind of choice that you made to say, let's go on the road.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was a no-brainer for me and for us when we had our first kid. And I feel like then you just add a couple more kids on and you're like, all right, everybody, you know, pack up the family van and let's go. But Ryan and I learned quickly that we had our first kid in 2013. And when she was 6 months old, we headed to spring training and then just went right into the baseball season from there. And, you know, kids are very adaptable, and whatever lifestyle you have, they're going to be able to adjust. So, you know, we stuck around an airplane and, you know, brought snacks and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And she just goes with the flow. I mean, you stick her in a hotel room and she's used to sleeping anywhere, anytime. And it's been really great. She's 7 years old now. And for the most part, I think she's a fairly well-adjusted kid. So it's been fun. And it's really the only way that the kids can see their dads for, you know, 9 months of the season.
And so you mentioned that in that schedule. I think there's a lot that people don't know about kind of the rhythms of the Major League Baseball season. You mentioned spring training, and it kind of really gets ramped up in February. And then if it goes well, like 2019 did, it's over at the end of October. I mean, that's pretty much a year commitment. What's the daily like, even when the guys are at home, even when the Nats are at home? What's sort of like kind of the rhythms of the day? Because most kids and most parents are like, well, it's almost 7 o'clock. I better get my kid ready for bed. Your afternoon and evening is kind of just getting started, right? Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because before our oldest was in school full time, she's a first grader now. I mean, literally she would sleep until 11 a.m. or 12 noon every day during baseball season, because she would be up until 11 p.m. or midnight the night before at a baseball game. And that was just her schedule, you know, it was great. And yeah. And it was actually kind of nice for us, because if we did hang out with friends or, you know, go out for a dinner or something like that, we didn't really have to worry about getting our kids home at you know, 7 p.m. for bedtime. But speaking to what you just brought up, so starting with spring training, baseball is an interesting thing, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, but during spring training, they're on this basically opposite schedule from normal baseball season. So during spring training, they're expected to be up early in the morning, be at the field by like 7 or 8 a.m. and they kind of do workouts or play games, and they're done by anywhere from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. for the day. And then switch over to baseball season a week after spring training's over, and you are now heading to the stadium at 1 p.m. for a 7 o'clock game, and you're at the stadium until that game ends, so 11 or midnight, and you just kind of go with the flow. But I mean, these guys are out of the house for a majority of the day, is sort of the point I'm trying to make. And at spring training, at least, it's a little more of like a 9-to-5 schedule. But you know, during baseball season, it's pretty much me and the kids at home for the majority of the day and the evening. So I don't want to say a grind, because it's fun, and I know what I, you know, was getting into, but it's just a different lifestyle.
Did you like baseball before you met Ryan?
No.
Like, and how serious was that dislike? Or was it apathy? No. Was it active dislike?
No, you know what? I enjoyed all sports for the social aspect, you know, like if a bunch of friends were going to a baseball game or a football game, I gladly, you know, came along, but I had no idea what was going on the field or on the ice at a hockey game or anything like that. I enjoyed the social aspect. So when Ryan and I started dating, obviously I was like, you know, I'm from this area. I know who you are. I know you play this game. I know you are apparently popular in the game, but I had no idea on a day-to-day basis, you know, how he was playing or really what the, you know, how the Nationals were doing or anything like that. So it was a steep learning curve for me.
So the whole world is online. And you're active online as well. Your husband, I admire, again, greatly, because he is not. He has stayed away from just the vices of social media and the like. And, you know, baseball is a game of failure. I mean, all sports are generally, but baseball especially so. The greatest in the world fail 70% of the time and whatever happens. How have you sort of navigated that, right? Where you're almost now like the public face of the Zimmerman operation, you know, like if Ryan grounds out, which has happened in the history of mankind, the greatest hitters again, fail a ton, and somebody says something nasty or otherwise, how have you navigated that? And was that kind of jarring at first?
It was definitely jarring at first. I mean, I found out quickly why Ryan does not have social media and actually loathes social media. Yep. It gives people a little too much close access to you. But again, I'm a super social person. I enjoy, you know, the back and forth with the everyday positive fan. And, you know, you take a little bit of the bad with the good, but there's always going to be angry people behind their keyboards who feel powerful when they can shoot you a quick tweet. And I feel like they, you know, very rarely are going to come up and actually say something to us at the stadium. But you have to develop a tough skin for sure. Yeah. I mean, somebody is talking about you're the person that you love. And it's something you develop and you get used to, and it is what it is. I mean, eventually it rolls off. Everybody's got an opinion. I've got opinions about people too, but that doesn't make the person any better or worse in reality, you know?
Of course. So I don't know how to ask this question the best way. So I'm going to fumble around and then you can pretty much save me. Okay. Throw me a lifeline in a second. There is this sort of, I think, casual impression where there's a category where it's like, this is a Major League Baseball player's wife. And it sort of ignores that these are three-dimensional human beings that have names and aspirations and dreams and hopes and all these other things. And escaping that shell, I admire so much, because I know you and Erica Scherzer a little bit over the years, just kind of having been around, and you guys are like, no, we're not just somebody that like sits in the stands and is like so happy for our husbands. It's like, you guys are real people that do amazing things. Is that something you fought against? Is that something that you're aware of, that perception, and then breaking free from that, where it's, I'm not just the wife of somebody, I'm Heather, and I accomplish a lot on my own as it is. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's probably a personal choice for a lot of the wives. I mean, I think some of them prefer to just sort of stay behind the scenes. And like we were just talking about, I mean, they don't want to be out there in the limelight getting said with fans saying things to them about their husbands, mm-hmm. and having to stick up for whatever choices their husbands make. And I think that's perfectly acceptable and understandable and okay. For me personally, part of the reason that I felt like I wanted to sort of be my own person on social media and just, you know, in the general DC area was because I'm from here, and I felt like I sort of already had a foothold. And, I just wanted to continue sharing with people my life experiences and what we are doing on a daily basis and how we actually live a really cool lifestyle when it comes down to it. I mean, obviously there's going to be, high points and low points and everything, but, I thought it was more interesting to sort of stay connected with everyone through social media and through some of the other, activities that we do outside of baseball.
There's this notion of using your platform, right? And I think there are two different meanings behind that. And I'll go into that here as we go. So meaning number one are people yelling at you to take a position on a cause or take a position on something in the public sphere. And that doesn't really mean use your platform. It means repeat what I think or agree with me. You guys actually use your platform for good. I know you work with the Children's Museum, for example. We went from not really sure about this coronavirus. 3 weeks later, you guys have started a charity to benefit doctors, nurses, and people on the front lines. You guys really use your platform, and I've long admired that. I'd love for you to speak to that part of things. Maybe less political stances, more, well, here, I'm just going to go help people while you guys are arguing.
Yeah. I mean, when you are invested in this area so much, you want to do what you can given our position. And because we have been fortunate to be connected with a lot of people. And obviously another thing is we live here full time. So I feel like we have a little bit more stability than some of the other baseball families or athletes in general who are just staying here for a brief time or, you know, traveling back and forth. But yeah, to start, when COVID hit and we, first of all, trekked back to Virginia from Florida with, I was super pregnant. We had two kids in the car and we packed up all of the belongings from spring training and drove back because you were so unsure about flight travel at this time and just what was going on. We got back here and we sat here for a couple of weeks and we just were having a conversation. We were like, we need to do something. I mean, we're here. Ryan's not playing baseball right now. And we're seeing all of these doctors and nurses just absolutely thrown into a pit of fire that they have no idea how to battle. So what can we do to help? And that's sort of how Pros for Heroes began. So it started out as just sort of an idea that we had to help some of the local doctors and nurses. And we ended up doing a joint relief effort with the ANOVA staff. And we ended up raising over $387,000, which was then we turned around and we actually worked with a local catering company and we provided lunches, dinners, and sometimes breakfast to the overnight staff over at ANOVA. Just one less thing that they would have to think about. And all of this money came from the local community. It was literally all people who, out of the goodness of their hearts, felt the need to help out in some way. And we just thought that was so incredible. And we raised that money so quickly. It was just really special to see that, you know, there is still a lot of humanity in the midst of all of the craziness that we experienced in 2020.
And going to your work with Zims Foundation, I know that's a cause very near and dear to my heart and Ryan's as well. And I know you've kind of adopted that as well as with the Children's Museum. It's just these projects are in the community, kind of as you touched on, directly helping people instead of just sort of big talk or some sort of performative action. It's very real type of stuff. And I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. So our Zims Foundation, I'll talk about that first. It's been around since 2006. Ryan and his family started it literally in their living room. And it basically has still been run primarily by volunteers in Virginia Beach, where his parents live. And I mean, over the years, we have raised close to $4 million for multiple sclerosis research, which has been incredible. We donate that money. A majority of it actually goes to the neurological department at University of Virginia. And we work mm-hmm. closely with the doctors over there in finding out what type of research or programs they've done with the money we've donated, which has been really cool to see a direct impact on that money. And then we've also used the money on we give it to some therapy programs in the area who work with MS patients. We also work with children whose parents have MS. We'll bring them out to the field usually one or two times a year so they can kind of all just have a day to get away and talk with other kids who are in the same situation as them. That's been something really special to us. And it all began because Ryan's mother has suffered from multiple sclerosis since he was 11. So that's been a really awesome foundation to be a part of. And Ryan and I actually plan on bringing that foundation up here to the DC area now. And that's something that we're really working on for 2021 is sort of revamping the foundation and bringing some new fun programs and events up here to raise some money and bring awareness about multiple sclerosis.
That's awesome.
And then the last thing, which is really exciting and something I just joined in the last couple of years, was the National Children's Museum, which they've reopened in DC. Unfortunately, it was open for 18 days and then had to close due to COVID, but we are very hopeful that we'll be open again this spring in the city. And it is an awesome, awesome museum for the whole family. You can go without kids. It is educational. It's fun. It's interesting. It's like a big indoor playground, but it's actually STEAM-based, which is science, technology, education, arts, and math. So every exhibit there has some type of learning to it, which is really cool. And Crystal Boyer, who's the CEO and president over there, has done an absolutely incredible job of bringing this museum back to life, which really had pretty much been out of existence since the 80s. So it will be a really fun project to be involved with once it reopens.
2020, Ryan opts out, doesn't play baseball. A lot of guys opted out in different sports, and you got a preview of what retirement's going to look like. Are you looking forward to when he retires from baseball? Was it too much having him around the house?
Currently, yes. it was definitely a blessing because we had our third child in at the end of May, and having him home for that was really amazing. And he's never spent this much time at home with me or our kids, which was truly awesome. I mean, we love him. He's my husband. He's an amazing father. Like, so great having him around the house. But you do reach a point where, I mean, these athletes are like caged animals. They have known nothing accept the grind of a sport since they were very young, and they need something to do every day. They need to get out there and feel a sense of accomplishment at the end of every day. They need to, be physical. And Ryan just wasn't ready to give that up yet. And I'm so happy that he is able to play another year for the Nationals, because I mean, that's our life. We really don't know life without baseball. And 2020 definitely made us realize that we will miss it a lot when it's over.
My last one for you, I've already kept you too long. I want you to think of a touchdown moment. Ask this of all my guests, like just an end zone spike, maybe get a taunting penalty, and then give me a low moment. Give me an, oh my God, what are we doing kind of situation. Take your time. Think about it. Touchdown spike. And what are we doing, Harry?
Oh, this is, let me think about something. Well, touchdown spike. I mean, I gotta say, I'm pretty proud of the family that we have created and the life that we have right now. I like to think that we are doing a pretty good job of balancing the craziness of the MLB lifestyle along with raising well-adjusted kids. So, I'm doing my touchdown dance while I talk about that.
There you go.
Yeah. low point, gosh. Low point, I mean, I guess I would have to just say is every once in a while, you know, maybe during the midst of baseball season, you take a step back and you're like, this is insane. We've been going nonstop for however many months now, and everyone's exhausted, and we don't know what day of the week it is, because you really don't know what day of the week it is, because obviously right. They play every single weekend. Your days off are Mondays and Thursdays, which is super odd. And sort of, you definitely take a step back every once in a while and say, wow, I just need life to slow down for like 24 hours, and it can't. And you know, again, we live in the DC area, and I am not complaining about this at all, but even on Ryan's off days, or if he has a day game and a free evening, we're usually busy doing something because there's a lot of events, there's a lot of activities that we can be involved with, and we want to be a part of the community. But it is sort of nonstop, and 2020 made me appreciate the insanity of baseball season. So I can't even say that that's a low point anymore, but I guess during the middle of baseball season, I definitely reach a point where I just need to crawl into a hole and not come out for like a week.
Yeah. There's 50 games in 51 days, yeah. And for some reason, it's 110 degrees in the shade. Yes. I get it. Heather, you're the best. You're interesting as hell. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Danny.
Thank you again to my guest, Heather Zimmerman. You want to find out more about Zim's Foundation? Just go to zimsfoundation.org. They do amazing work with multiple sclerosis and research and advocacy and helping actual folks living with it and families and so many wonderful things. And I've been thrilled to play a tiny part in some of their events over the years. So that is a really, really wonderful cause. It's obviously very near and dear to my heart and to Ryan's as well. In addition, you could check out the National Children's Museum at nationalchildrensmuseum.org. And they'll be up and running hopefully pretty soon as the world gets vaccinated and everything else. The time of this recording, early February, we're working our way towards it, man. But I can't wait to go check that out with my kids. Number of cool things to pull out of this conversation with Heather. Just again, it's hard to quantify this grind. And I know that it's, you know, you're not crying a river for these guys because they're getting to live out a dream. There's a lot of people that want to do this, want to talk about Major League Baseball players. But in order to maintain that level, just playing every night, just the wear and tear it takes on you, it's way less than that sort of game a week like football is, where you're getting into a car wreck 50, 60 times, right? That's kind of how it is in terms of impact. You're getting ready for that, and it's more about rest than anything else. With baseball, it's about maintenance, and it's about constantly pressure and wearing on you and wearing on you and wearing on you. It's a process game, right? Where you hit a ball hard 10 times, you know, six of those could be outs 1 week, seven of them are hits the next week, and you go up and down, and averages go up and down, and at the end of the year, you get this sort of compiled thing about who you are and what you're worth on a baseball card. Then we kind of figure that out with dollars and math and scouts and everything else, and it's a unique, unique grind. And those experiences, again, that Heather was talking about, she said it was a no-brainer to take the kids, to kind of pick them up and take them across the country and go to some of these games and work their schedule in such a way that they're at the ballpark until 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, watching dad play, even if they're not even sure what's going on. I loved her answer also. I didn't know this, actually. We never actually talked about it. Did you like baseball before you met Ryan? No, was the answer. That's hilarious. I don't know why I find that as funny as I do, but I found that really, really funny. And her candor was great. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we went to RFK and had like a couple beers and it was fun. Well, the Nats were losing 100 some odd games, or, you know, you go to a Wizards game or a Caps game before they really started winning in earnest. And it was fun. It was social. It was kind of a neat thing. And that's pretty amazing, where it's, I know you're important in this game that I don't really care about, but that's all well and good. So I thought that was really, really funny and really cool. Another answer I really enjoyed, and this is what I'm always amazed at. So the social media aspect of things. Heather's great at it. Like, she's so good at navigating all of the different platforms to, you know, to be positive and to say the right things and to get the word out for the important causes and things like that. And Ryan has an unbelievable amount of discipline when it comes to this stuff. He just will not engage on social media. Won't sign up for it. Won't look at stuff. It's basically like his buddies and Heather's got to show him, like, look at what this person Instagrammed, or look at what this idiot Danny said about the Nationals or whatever. Right. And the responses, it's, you know, if I was in a different position, I would have just sort of an anonymous Twitter handle and I wouldn't have any followers and I would basically just use it for news and updates. And that's kind of the way I sort of, you know, use it now almost by default, right? Because it's just, it can be so mean and toxic and nasty. God forbid I ground it out in an important moment in a playoff game or something like that, you know, or over the course of the years. And it's just, you know, people just lash out. They say things that they would never, ever say in person. And they do it to me, and it's a fraction, I'm sure, of what a pro athlete or a pro athlete spouse or family member might get. But she's just has so much grace when it comes to navigating those sorts of things. So I certainly admire that a great deal. And again, I can't help but admire the two of them for just having their heads on straight, for basically saying, we are building our life here. We're not, you know, just a part-time Peters where we live somewhere else and show up in town and we, you know, sort of stay at a hotel and that's kind of it. They've set their roots here. They're DC area folks, and they got there, and then Ryan's home in the Virginia Beach area. And they are sort of tied to this community. And so because of that, they said, well, let's do what we can in this community. And they support so many folks, again, with the Zims Foundation, folks living with MS, families, medical research, and so many people have been helped through the Zims Foundation, this National Children's Museum endeavor that that Heather's on the board of. And it's just amazing what they've been able to kind of rejuvenate and kind of get some momentum going towards a great center for kids. And again, this Pros for Heroes program, we're down at spring training in early March of last year. So, right, March 10th through the 13th. And those dates should be familiar. That's pretty much when the whole world shut down. It was during that week, right? And so, you know, we ended up having dinner early in that week. And, you know, the virus was sort of out there, but it really wasn't that big a deal. I remember us just kind of talking about it. It was nothing. And it was sort of this faraway thing. And we were joking about not shaking hands. And sort of that was it. And we ate outside. And that was all. You know, it was a nice afternoon. Well, basically 36 hours later, again, the world shut down after Rudy Gobert, center for the Jazz, got tested positive. And then that was kind of it. Every league shut down, the Nationals shut down. So instead of us interviewing all the players as we do for our radio show down there at spring training, my co-host and I were just talking to a fence for a few hours a day. And then the final show we did was actually from a conference room inside the hotel. We were isolated from everybody, and we had to fly out of the same airport that the guy that tested positive on the JetBlue flight was flying from New York to DC, over New York to West Palm Beach. I don't know if you remember that story, but the guy got a test, got on the plane, found out he was positive, probably infected everybody, and he was at the same gate, the same terminal, and the same airplane that I ended up taking later on. There was so much hand sanitizer. Nobody knew anything. But they went from that. We went from sort of joking about it, not understanding what was coming. I don't know that anybody did. Basically, less than a month later, they had formed Pros for Heroes and had found a way to identify a problem and go after a viable solution to help. Boots on the ground, helping. And I've always admired them for that. And not just admired them for that, but admired them for their propensity and willingness to do so. They're great folks. They're very generous. And Heather was very generous with her time. So I appreciate her joining me. Appreciate you guys joining me as well. This was awesome. Really fun episode to be able to do. We are on patreon.com/funnydanny. I'm writing columns couple a week. Got one about Gina Carano that is up from last week, and a very interesting cancellation. By the way, don't say stupid things. It's very easy just don't say stupid things, and then maybe you'd still be on The Mandalorian. Anyway, I wrote about that a little bit, and I got some other stuff up there as well. We're on free podcasting platforms as well after a short amount of time. The Spotify's, the Amazon Music's, the Google Play's, the Apple Pods, all the cool stuff. That's where we are. Thank you to my producer, Andrew Russell of Kiwanda Sound. KiwandaSound.com for all of those sound editing needs. Until next time, you seem interesting.